As I do every Sunday, I wore a suit and tie. And I was going to be very formal and preach from the pulpit, but I have to be honest with you. This thing's too short and I can't see my notes. It's way down there. You're getting older, you know. If you would open your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to ask you a few favors. One is that if you will keep distractions to a minimum through the rest of the service. And that means don't get up and run around. Keep your shirts on. Turn off your phones. Don't distract each other. I pray that some of you cry today because of the sermon. Not that it's that bad. But I hope that what we study this morning breaks all of our hearts, but then causes us to have great rejoicing. I want to be really honest with you. I have a whole stack of Christmas sermons. 24 for right here at Valley. Since this is my last Christmas sermon, I said, well, you know, I'm going to look back and see what I did. So I picked out the one I hate the most to share with you today. And it's also my favorite, and rewrote it for today, because of all the ways to look at Christmas, I think we need to begin and end right here. Let's pray. Father, as we study your word and talk about the beauty and the ugliness of Christmas, I pray that it will really sink in, that you will keep our minds focused on what your word says this morning, that our Christmas may be filled with joy because of what it cures. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. There are many ways to look at Christmas sermons. You've heard a lot. Today, I want us to look at the ugliness of Christmas. I really want you to feel bad. For a good reason. Because we can't really. Now, please stay to the end. Don't get upset and say, he wants me to feel bad. It's Christmas. I didn't come to church to feel bad. I'm out of here. The doors are locked. We have guards in the towers. You can't leave. Stay to the end. I don't want to be negative. I don't want to depress you. I want to enhance our joy. But you must look at the bad news before you really appreciate the good news. You have to feel bad to really appreciate how well you feel because you feel good. I want us to see the ugliness of Christmas so that we can see the real beauty of Christmas. You think of all the songs and all the scenes at Christmas. One of the most famous is White Christmas. Today, I want us to look at the darkness, the blackness of Christmas. We think of the beauty of Christmas and the trees and lights and decorations and snow scenes and warm fireplaces and presents with everything cheery, everything bright, everything happy. That's the Christmas card. And most Christmas cards are a fantasy of Christmas. That is the nice side. But it's only one side. And you turn the card over, the other side is very ugly. There's something behind, something beyond all of the beauty of Christmas. Lurking behind every Christmas scene, every Christmas card. Something very ugly, something very vile. It is the most wretched and heinous and hideous reality in all the world. And to appreciate the beauty of Christmas, we have to have a proper understanding of that picture, the ugliness. We sing at Christmas that song, "What Child Is This?" And we know the answer, what child is this? This is Christ the King. Matthew 1:21, the angel says, "You will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." Luke 2:10-11. The angel said, "I bring you good news of great joy. Today a Savior is born. He is Christ the Lord." 1 John 3:5, you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. 1 John 4:4, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. 1 Timothy 1:15, the Apostle Paul writes, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then Paul adds these words, of whom I am the worst. So let me ask you a question. Who is the worst sinner you know? You say, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I may not be as good as so-and-so, but they're a lot worse. No, you don't really know them. The worst sinner I know, that I really know, is me. I'm a sinner. And that is the dark, that is the vile, that is the ugly side of Christmas, is sin. It is the heart of Christmas that Christ came to save who? Who did Christ come to save? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. It starts with an S. Sinners! Who's a sinner in the house today? They're all over here. I didn't see any hands over here. God became flesh. Manifest. Emmanuel. With meat, the incarnation of Christ to save us, to take away our sin. He was given the name Jesus, and the Hebrew is Yeshua, Joshua, which means the Lord saves. The Lord is my salvation. And this is the real beauty of Christmas, is to understand and to accept the ugliness of Christmas. Sin is the ugliness that damns every soul to hell. See, I don't want to hear that on Christmas, but that's what Christmas is all about. Sin is the ugliness that damns every soul to hell. It is because of sin, there are tears and there are pains and there are wars and there's fighting. There's arguing, there's anxiety, there's unrest, there's gossip, there's fear, there's worry, there's sickness, there's famine, and there's death. And all that hurts us, everything that mars our existence is because of sin. It disturbs every relationship. The relationship between man and man, man and God, man and creation. Thomas Watson, a Puritan writer, said this, sin has turned the beauty into deformity, and the wicked takes more care to have his sins covered than cured. I'm going to read that again, because some of you aren't listening. Or else we would start pulling out our hankies. Sin has turned beauty into deformity, and the wicked takes more care to have his sins covered than cured. Isn't that true? Don't we excuse our sin rather than examine our sin? So it's fitting when the world would cover the Christmas scene with all its beauty, we should tear away and look at the ugliness behind it. The reason Christ was born was not to give us Christmas. The reason Christ was born was to be our Savior. He came to deliver us from our sin. If there was no sin, there would need no Christmas. You can't divorce the two. You can't hide behind the fantasy of Christmas, the smokescreen of its beauty of Christmas. No one escapes sin. Everyone who dies, and here's the clicker, who's dying here today? We're all dying. Either you're dead or you're dying. We're all dying because of sin. We know Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We know Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is what? Death. Sin makes us susceptible to disease, to death, to hell. It is the reason for Christmas. Every broken home, every marriage destroyed, every shattered friendship, Every argument, every evil thought, every evil deed, every evil word, every good deed not done, every good thought not thought, every good word not said is the result of sin. In the Bible, sin is compared to the venom of snakes, the stench of the grave. And anything that is that sinister, that powerful, must be dealt with. Christ came into the world to deal with it. Now you can smile a little. Christ came into the world to deal with your disease, sin. But don't just look at the beauty of Christmas and celebrate. Because you can't really celebrate without understanding that at the very heart is the ugliness of sin, the blackness behind every scene. So I have some questions for you today, and I hope I give you some good answers. Question number one, what's the cause? What is sin? Let me give you some answers. Any of you ever sinned? Okay, what'd you do? You lied. You stole. You committed adultery. You robbed a bank. You took someone's seat at church. Whatever. You did something wrong. What is sin? 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, John describes it for us. He says, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. Sin is breaking God's law. It's living as if there is no law, there is no standard, as if God is not in charge. It is speaking, it is thinking, it is doing what God doesn't want, or not speaking, not thinking, not doing what God does want. Now, there is no sane, logical reason to break God's law. If you've got one, I'll stay afterwards and you can explain it to me. A logical reason to break God's law. There's not one. Except that we want to be in charge. God's rules are for our own good, for our own happiness, for our own blessings, for our well-being. You look in the Bible, there's all kinds of terms for sin. There's missing the mark, rebellion, transgression, evil, impiety, contempt, violation of God's law, evil lust for what is forbidden, a desire. Simply, it's this. You violate God's law. So are we on the same page? How many of us have ever, in all of our life, violated God's law? Okay. Then we're all on the same page. Second question. What are the characteristics of sin? What is it like? Let me give you a few. It's defiling. It defiles. It pollutes. These are in your outline. It's what rust does to precious metal. It's what a scar does to lovely skin. It's what a wrinkle does to a young face. And we're going there, aren't we? It's what stain does to beautiful cloth. It is a defiling thing. It makes our souls, our hearts, red with guilt, black with evil. Now, you can't say, that's not me, because you already agreed you're a sinner. Gotcha. Right? Well, are we on the same page? How many of us have ever sinned? You defiled yourself, didn't we? In fact, Isaiah 30, verse 22, God says that sin is so defiling, it is like a bloody rag. In Isaiah 1, 6, God says it's like an oozing sore. Zechariah 3, 3, filthy clothes. It is defiling, it is polluting, it is staining, it messes everything it touches, and it touches everything. Thomas Goodman, another Puritan writer, said, sin is poison. It is the venom of serpents, the vomit of dogs, the stench of the grave, rotten sepulchers, the mire of pigs. All of that is the biblical, what God says about sin. It pollutes. It's defiling. It's also defiance. It is defying God. Leviticus chapter 26, God says this about sin. This hostility toward me. I don't know if we think of our sin that way. It is defiance against God. It is clenching our fist in the face of God. It strikes a blow to the face of Christ. It puts the nails in His wrist. It spits in His face. It crams the crown of thorns on His head again. A spear in His side. Sin is defiance. It says, I will do what I want to do. I'm in charge. In fact, the Hebrew word in the Old Testament for sin is rebellion. It rebels against God. It's doing exactly what I want. To un-God God. As if there is no God. I am God. I'll do what I want to do. Defiance is doing your own thing. How many of us have ever sinned? Uh-oh. The ice cream man's coming. Sin is also bringing your cell phone into church turned on. Sin is also ingratitude. Think about it. We wouldn't be alive without God. Whatever you have, whatever you are, whatever you enjoy is because of God. Just take another breath. Ready? One, two, three. Who gave you that? I went and got it at Walmart. They had a special on breath. A guy told me yesterday, I'm weaning off of that oxygen. Well, that's called death. Everything we have is because God is so good. All the food we eat, all the homes we live in, all the beautiful scenes we see, all the good feelings we feel, God gives them to you. Love and laughter and joys and friends and skills and abilities. Everything that makes you you is God's graciousness, God's gift to you. And isn't it amazing that He gives us to ungrateful sinners like you and me? When I am ungrateful, I am defying God at His gross ingratitude. You wouldn't think of not thanking someone who saved your life. But so often, we strike the defiant blows in the face of God who gives us everything. So what's sin? It is defiling, it is defiance, it is ingratitude, and we're still in the bad news. It is humanly incurable. Not all your self-effort, not all your religion can cure your sin. It can't be legislated out, philosophized out, psychoanalyzed out, can't be pushed out, wished out, washed out by yourself. You can't say, well, I'm going to pull myself up out of my sin but with my own bootstraps, my own effort. You say, well, I'm just going to be good enough. You'll never be good enough. And how many of you have ever sinned? Let's be honest. Some of you are liars. You see, here's the bad news part. You say, well, I'm going to start being good from now on. Well, you've already blown it. You're already a sinner. John Flavel, another Puritan, said this, all the tears of a penitent sinner, should he shed as many tears as there have been raindrops since the creation of the world, could wash away by his own tears one sin. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but one thing. We'll get there in a moment. All my sorrow, I feel so sorry about my sin. All the punishment, give me punishment, God, can't take away my sin. And one other thing about the character, it's hated by God. God damns no one except sinners. God has an eternal hatred for sin. He doesn't condemn people because they're poor, because they're rich, because they're ignorant, because they're smart, because they have limited abilities or great intellectual abilities. He doesn't condemn them because they're short or tall, because they're skinny or not skinny, or because they the color of their skin or what country they're from. God doesn't care about that. The only thing that alienates people from God is sin. And how many of us are sinners? Uh-oh. Jeremiah 4:4, God says, this detestable thing, which I hate. You see, God is holy. Altogether holy. He has no sin. He's always been holy with no sin. He will forever have no sin. That's God. And a sinner is completely unholy, completely full of sin. And on our own, I'm always going to be a sinner. And the big problem is we're all sinners. And if you say, I'm not a sinner, then look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 10, where the Holy Spirit directs John to say this: if we claim we have no sin, we call God a liar. So let me ask you again, with that verse in mind, how many of us in the room are sinners? Well, I'm going to be quick to raise my hand. I don't want to call God a liar. That would just be another sin. Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, and we're all dying. What's the population of the world? I don't have the figure today, but everybody in the world is dying. $50 million people will die this year, at least. 140,000 every day. 100 people every minute. And for most of them, hell is what's waiting them. Charles Spurgeon, not a Puritan, but an English preacher, said, man is hanging over the mouth of hell by a solitary plank, and the plank is rotten. That's the ugliness of Christmas, the fatality of sin, and God hates it. In fact, God says in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 3, you will remember your conduct and all the actions by which you have defiled yourselves, and you will loathe yourself from all the evil you have done. If I'm honest, if you're honest, and I look at myself, I'm not happy. In fact, on my own, I hate myself. I'm a sinner. I'm defiled. I defy God. I have gross ingratitude to God. I have something that is hated by God, and I can't cure it on my own. I feel dirty. And I am. So how could a holy God and me, a sinner, ever get together? Only if sin is eliminated. And so that takes us to the good news. Now go, whew, whoopee, good news. The cure. I promise you good news. The cure is this: only by Christ. There is no other way. Not by your effort, not by, will all dogs go to heaven? It doesn't matter what you believe. We are open and affirming. Anybody can come in. You're welcome to come in. But there's one way to get your sin cured. Only by the blood, the death of Jesus Christ. His work. He paid the penalty for our sin. He came to save us. And the ugliness of Christmas brings us to the beauty of Christmas. Christ saves those who will allow Him to do so. You want to be in that group? The beauty of Christmas is not Christmas cards, Christmas gifts, decorations, trees, fantasy. The real beauty is that Jesus came to cure the ugliness of Christmas. God became a man to die for us. Paid the penalty. We are cleansed. We are washed. However you want to put it. By the death, resurrection of Jesus Christ, we trust Him and only that. That's Christmas. And unless we understand the ugliness of our own sin and embrace the only one who can take away the ugliness by His death, His burial, and resurrection, then listen, we have no connection with Christmas. We miss it. You know, it's a little, I'm getting old and cranky, you know. But it sort of bugs me that the world wants to get in on Christmas, but they don't want Christ. I want to come and celebrate. I want to enjoy Christ. I want to give. Does that bug you? Then tell them the good news of Christmas. Make sure we know that. There's no connection without Christ to Christmas. Christmas is this. Christ came into the world to save sinners. And who's the worst one you know? There's no other cure. There's no other way. Disease that is cured by the death of Christ. God says this in Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together. Let's think this through, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be white like wool. And we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. Whoever believes in Him will have eternal life, but if you don't, you don't. What about 1 John 1:9? You know that one? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will purify us from all unrighteousness. How about Romans 6:23? And you say, Morgan, you've quoted it like three times already. Only the first part. The wages of sin is death. We didn't quote the rest of the verse, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That's the good news. Matthew 1:21, His name is Jesus, and He will save His people from their sins. Luke 2:10-11, the angel said, I bring you good news of great joy. A Savior is born. He is Christ the Lord. The beauty of Christmas is that the disease, the ugliness, there's a cure. Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord and you will be saved. That doesn't mean you say, yeah, I believe He exists. Put your trust in Him. Mark 16:16, Jesus said, whoever believes and is baptized, surrenders to me, is obedient to me, will be saved. Acts 2:38, the day of Pentecost. What do? Believe in the Lord and be baptized. Repent and turn to Christ, and you will be forgiven of your sins. I want to take you to one passage of Scripture. Have you noticed you haven't really opened your Bible yet? So now I'm going to start preaching. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that means you put your faith in Christ, you've come to Christ. He is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Isn't that good news? And all of this is from God who reconciled to us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting man's sins against Him. Did you catch that? When you're in Christ, God doesn't count your sins against you. I bet it's exciting at your house on Christmas morning, huh? Yippee. Let me read that again. In Christ, not counting man's sins against them. And he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore God's ambassadors, though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We beg you. Here's the deal. Come and be reconciled to God. God made him, verse 21, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Ah, that is a great Christmas verse. Here's the deal. God made him, Christ, who had no sin. He took all the sin upon him. And so that you, who are a dirty, defiled, rotten, ingratitude-filled sinner, can have his righteousness. What a deal. What a trade-off. He who had no sin died in my place. I get his righteousness. He took my sin and paid the price. What a deal. As God's fellow workers, we urge you then to receive not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Are you in Christ? Are you sure? And you don't mind me asking. You can ask me. I want to make sure. If you're not, where are you going? Joseph Hart wrote a song that we sing quite often at Valley. Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love and power. He is able, he is able, he is able, he is willing. Doubt no more. Come ye weary, heavy laden, bruised and mangled by the fall, sin entering the world. If you tarry, wait till you're better, you will never come at all. Not the righteous, not the righteous, not the righteous. Sinners Jesus came to call. Sinners Jesus came to call. And again today, this is the day of salvation. Christ is calling. Christ is ready. If you haven't come to Christ, come to Christ. Cure the ugliness of our of your sin. If you have come, celebrate. Understand the real meaning of Christmas, what's behind it all. Tell other people. A birth? We love births. We love babies. Never seen an ugly baby. But this birth would mean nothing without his death. He came to die, to take away our sin. Another song that we sing every Christmas, O Little Town of Bethlehem, played it this morning. And I look for, I don't know how many versions, and almost every version today leaves out verse 3. I couldn't find one with verse 3, so I'm going to sing it for you. I'll read it for you. How silently, the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Love verse 4. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Christmas is a good day, isn't it? What's your best day? The day you came to Christ. I'd like to pray, and then I'd like you to just sit and listen to the song. Feel free to sing along with it. At least read the words under your breath. If you won't sing with us, think again what Christ has done for you. He was stricken, he was smitten, afflicted, to take away our sin. Please stay through the song. Let people make decisions that need to make decisions. Pray for people to come to Christ who have not accepted. Pray for yourself to really enjoy the beauty of Christmas this year. Father, as we have studied, as we have said, as we have to realize, there is a very dark side. But that's the reason you came. And without understanding that, we would not know the joy, the real reason to celebrate. Thank you for this time. Thank you for Christ, who came to take away the sin of us. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.